There's a chopper. Come on, Juan. And Bobby Jeanks has tied a major league record, retiring 41 consecutive hitters from a reliever's role, not a starter. Unbelievable.
Brian Noonan, 720 WGN. White Sox fans, you remember number 45. You remember that call. Bobby Jeanks, closer for the White Sox, helped the White Sox win the World Series in 2005. Then in 2011, he gets traded to the Red Sox. He has a new story in the Players' Tribune called Scar Tissue. You need to read it. If you've wondered, hey, whatever happened to Bobby Jeanks? Read this story because it will tell you. But he'll tell us himself. Bobby Jeanks joins us now on WGN. Bobby, thanks for coming on tonight. I really appreciate it. Before we get started, I just want to say I am a fan, and thanks for helping the Sox win the World Series in 2005.
Thanks, Brian. I really appreciate that. And trust me, that was all my pleasure just as much.
All right. Now, scar tissue. The story, as I read it, it was infuriating. It was sad. It was terrifying. And in the end, uplifting. Why did you decide this was the time to tell this story?
Well, you know, I wanted to get not only people's attention, but I thought it was more important to shed light on what happened to me, to cause light to be shined on the situation of the concurrent surgeries. And I figured the best way to do that was just tell everybody from the beginning what happened to me. And, you know, honestly, that was, you know, a lot of stuff in there that, you know, for a long time that I was trying to hide and really just bury as much as possible. But I thought the more important thing to do was, if I'm going to help others, I needed to help myself first. And in order to do that, people need to know where I'm coming from so they have a better place to relate to.
Well, I will say you didn't gloss over, or it doesn't seem like you glossed over, a lot of the more embarrassing, to use your words, details of this story. Let's go back then. Let's say how this all started. You get traded to Boston, and in 2011, the season starts out okay. You're doing pretty good, and then all of a sudden you're pitching against the Yankees, and what happened?
Yeah, so, you know, that year in 2011, everything was on track. I mean, I was healthy. I had a great spring training. Yeah, I think I only pitched maybe 17 games that year, because it started off early. I tore my bicep, so I went on the DL, came back, tried to make a couple of rehab starts down in the minor leagues. Something wasn't right. I couldn't get loose. I go get X-rays done. They find a pulmonary embolism in my lung.
Oh, jeez.
So, and when they found the embolism, that's when we noticed what was going on with my actual spine. So,
well, because explain, you were having trouble. You felt you were pitching and you felt something, and you described it in a way I haven't heard anything described. You know, most people will say a stabbing pain like a knife, but you described it as a pain like somebody was using a spoon to go in your back.
Yeah, because it wasn't very sharp. That's why, I used a spoon. Like, you can't really, it's a good, like, illustration is, like, visually.
Yeah.
Knives are sharp. It's a sharp pain. But a spoon, it was very dull and throbbing, but it felt like it was really deep. I can tell it wasn't, muscular. That's why I say it was, like, very dull and, like, spoon-like, because of, the round edges. It just felt like something in there was just, I just knew something wasn't right, because it was a very indescribable experience.
But the pain keeps going on, and anybody who's dealt with pain, when doctors can't figure it out, it's a very helpless feeling, right?
Yeah, very much so. Because, I mean, in the beginning of that year when this started, we couldn't really figure out where it was. Because I was having the pain, a lot of it was coming from, like, in my left scapula, like underneath my shoulder blade, and it was shooting around underneath my armpit. So we were thinking something, in the beginning, something very, maybe muscular or connected to my ribs,
right,
or some sort of nerve damage in there. It wasn't until later with these X-rays on my lungs that, we figured out that it was a spinal issue that was causing all the problems.
So they finally figure it out. That has to, in some way, that has to be a relief, because at least now you know what's going on. But when they give you this diagnosis,
yes.
How does it, I mean, in your mind, you have to be thinking, how is this going to affect my career? What did they tell you at that point once they figured out what the problem was?
Oh, you're absolutely right. That was my first question, especially when it comes to an injury, you know, involving the spine or anywhere in the back that am I going to be able to play again?
Yeah.
And, you know, after a bunch of doctor visits, I was reassured that this was going to be a simple, quick surgery that I was going to have in the middle of the season, and I was going to be ready for spring training. The next season wasn't going to be a problem. I was going to be good to go.
Okay.
And, you know, that's why I put a lot of my trust into that idea where, you know, the surgery was going to be simple.
Well, yeah, and when the doctors are all telling you that, you have no reason not to believe it. You know, I think we all suffer from that where we think doctors should know what they're talking about. So if they tell you it's going to be an easy surgery, okay, let's do it.
Especially coming from where I was seeing the doctor and what hospitals, and I was at Mass General, one of the top hospitals in the country, with the head surgeon of back and spine at the time who was running that place. You know, you would assume that you were in pretty good hands.
Yeah, that's the problem. We put our trust sometimes in people who really don't deserve it. So you have the surgery. When you come out of the surgery, do they reassure you? What's the mood when you're done?
Oh yeah, I woke up out of the anesthesia, and you know there was no problems. Everything went fine. You know, I believe the next day our team doctor with the Red Sox came in and, reassured that the doctor said everything was good. There was no complications. Everything was fine. And it was a smooth surgery. That was all the information that I was given.
All right. So now you have this surgery. Everything's supposed to be fine. You start rehabbing. You go back home to Arizona. And before we take the break, this part kind of scared me the most, and I think anybody who's had surgery or a back problem is going to be as horrified as you obviously were. Tell us what happened when you were sitting on the couch, your kids are outside at the pool. How did you realize that something was really wrong?
When I told this story the very first time, you know, I've tried to make it very playful, like the kids, you know, but I'll just say it as is. I mean, it was, yeah. I thought it was one of my little ones joking around with dad. Because, you know, at the time, my two youngest were, you know, both very young, you know, maybe 4 or 5 at the time. And you know, I thought they were playing around because they didn't fully understand, you know, dad was on the couch for a reason. He's rehabbing or, you know, resting his back because he had surgery. And I thought one of them had dumped an entire bottle of water on my back. My shirt was soaked from about halfway down to the bottom of my shirt. And you can't get that kind of soaked unless it's, you know, something.
Yeah, a lot. There's a lot of fluid coming out. Yeah. One way or another.
You know, and then, come to find out, you know, I had my ex come look at it. And the bottom of my incision had blown open about 1/4 inch from the bottom.
Ugh.
And it was just oozing out spinal fluid. Well, I didn't know it was spinal fluid at the time. But it, you know, after seeing another physician down the road, it was spinal fluid that I was leaking.
Jeez, that's horrifying. All right, we got to take a quick break, Bobby. But when we come back, I want to talk about. So now this has happened. The initial surgery, obviously, something went horribly wrong. We have to touch on what happened when you tried to go back and you went to Florida and things had taken a bad turn. And then we got to talk a little bit about this concurrent surgery thing, which until I read your story, I had not heard anything about. And it's terrifying.
Yeah.
Scar tissue is Bobby Jenks' story in the Players Tribune. Go to playerstribune.com to read it. We've got links to it here. Bobby Jenks is my guest. Bobby, hang on 1 second and we'll be right back with you right here, 720 WGN. All right, Bobby Jenks, former closer for the Chicago White Sox, is my guest. His story, Scar Tissue, is available now on the Players Tribune. All right, so we're going to have to jump ahead because I've only got you for a few minutes, Bobby. But when we were last talking, all this fluid's coming out. So you go see some doctors in Arizona to make it an understatement of the nth degree. They find out that your surgeon in Boston screwed the pooch. They really messed up. So now you have
to
have...
So when,
yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, yeah. So, when I went and found out that it was spinal fluid leaking, I was sent to the emergency room right away. By the time I got there, they had, people waiting for me outside to take me in because of the severity of the situation. And so, basically, I wake up have an emergency surgery and wake up out of anesthesia. And, the way I see it, the doctor who saved my life, Dr. Christopher Young, he, first words out of his mouth, he said, "Son, you're lucky to be alive." Jeez. I was stunned. I was taken back, the severity of it, what it hadn't really, not only dawned on me that deeply, but I didn't realize how close I was to actually not being here anymore.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. So they tell you have to have this surgery, that they think they can fix everything, but you have to have this surgery. And at this point, this doctor is straight up with you. This surgery will end your baseball career, right?
Not so much in those words, but okay. He didn't give me very good odds.
Okay.
So after the second surgery, he fixed not only what the first doctor should have done and cleaned up his mess, he also completed the surgery that he was supposed to do in the first place.
Okay.
And on top of that, I had gotten an infection in my spine. Who knows if this is from the wound being open or it was just from the shit work being done in the first place. We'll never know, but I got an infection caused from it, and this infection had almost reached the top of my spine to my brainstem, which would have put me yeah. lights out. So I'd been so the deterioration caused by the two surgeries and then the infection on top of it, he didn't like my odds going back, but I was still in the mindset of, I'm going to make this work. I can come back from this.
Yeah. And all these surgeries and all these injuries taking a toll not only on you physically, but mentally. And then with all this pain, you got addicted to painkillers. And things.
I did.
Things got bad for a while.
For quite a bit. I went back into spring training that year in 2012. And, a few months earlier, I had went and, checked into a detox place thinking, I was good. I got it all out of my system.
Yeah.
I was going to show up to spring training and I was going to be good. But, addiction doesn't work that way. And it wasn't but 2 weeks in and maybe even less that, I phoned up and was able to get my hands on more, Percocets and other pain pills. And, I was right back into the same system again of, in my addiction.
And then your ex had an intervention for you. You go into rehab, and happy to say, over 7 years sober. Correct?
Yes, correct.
Congratulations! That is a huge accomplishment.
You.
One day at a time. Keep it going.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't say it gets easier, but it gets less hard the longer you stick with it.
And we won't go into all the details. That's what people have to read, scar tissue. Go to the Players Tribune. But I do want to get into this now. Something I had never heard of, and this is now your cause, the concurrent surgery. Tell people what that is, because, like I said, I had never heard of this.
Yeah, so that's the whole focal point of this this article, is to bring awareness and hopefully a stop to the practice of concurrent surgery. And that is when a doctor is overseeing two surgeries at the same time.
I didn't even know that was possible.
At the same time.
So in separate rooms? This is what happened to you, right?
Right
there, separate rooms?
Yes, a room right next to me. We went under the anesthesia roughly 5 minutes apart. And, whether he was in my room the entire time or he was out of my room, we'll never know. Only the doctor and the people in the OR actually know what actually happened. And but the point is, he was distracted. He wasn't there. He was in two rooms at the same time, which physically you cannot do. And
no.
He, during his negligence, he messed my back up completely, ruined my career, and it just became a complete nightmare.
And now, do you know, in all the, when your attorneys and you were doing all this investigation, was the other person, did the other person suffer as well?
We weren't able to get access to the patient next to me, But we, during this whole process, we were able to get in contact with a lot of others who had surgery performed by this same doctor, who were also in malpractice suits. You know, come to find out that they've been this hospital, and not only this doctor, but I'm sure other doctors. I can't say that for sure, but right. I just know and can speak of my own personal experience that he was performing these on a regular basis with the hospital's knowledge.
That's unbelievable.
There were many cases where a lot of negligence had happened during his surgeries. And I can speak about my case, which I'm going to do in more detail in the future, because I'm going to put my biggest foot forward to make sure that this comes to an end so this doesn't happen to anybody else.
And, you know, we should say that you did settle with the hospital out of court, but if you look at what you settled for, minus all the fees, based on what your career would have been, it's a pittance.
Yeah, I mean, in the long run, yes, it wasn't even close of what it could have been.
Right.
But in the big picture, it's you know, it was never about the money. It was all about getting the win and making this and bringing this subject into the limelight.
So people need to ask because again, I had never heard of this until I read your story, Scars Tissue, on the Players Tribune. Concurrent surgery. If you're going in for surgery, make sure you're bringing this up to your doctors. Going, hey, what's the policy here? Because I don't want anything to do with this.
100%, because they are not legally obligated to tell you that is even going on.
That's unbelievable. So what's next, Bobby? What are you up to? What are you up to now? What's the future hold for Bobby Jacks?
Well, you know, hopefully I've got a few things in the work, but right now my primary focus is this. You know, now that the case is over, I'm finally able to try to go somewhere with this. But, you know, on the side, I still do... you know, I still do some coaching and things like that around for the locals, do a lot of private lessons. You know, I've coached my kids' T-ball team this year, just some small things like that. But
very nice.
Hopefully there's some bigger things coming in the future with a company I've been working with out of South Africa. So hopefully
we wish you nothing but the best.
That's going to be in the project soon.
Wish you nothing but the best. Congratulations again on the sobriety. Keep fighting the good fight on that. And you will always have a special place in the hearts of Sox fans for your contribution to the World Series. And thank you for sharing your story. I'm sorry you had to go through it, but thank you for having the strength to share that with us to help anybody who's going in for any kind of surgery be aware of what can happen, because doctors can, you know, they could do what they want without having to tell us. So, Bobby, I really appreciate your time tonight. Thank you very much, and continued success in the future, man.
Well, thank you, Brian. I really appreciate the time and just letting me come on and not only share my story, but help bring awareness to the problem that's happening now.
Well, that's the only thing we can do now is share that awareness. Bobby, take care. Thanks again.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye. That's Bobby Jenks, number 45. You know him. All right, remember, if you take nothing away from that, and go read Scar Tissue on the Players Tribune. It is gut-wrenching what he went through. Make sure you're asking your doctors what's going on before they put you under for some sort of operation.